I want to be there first. I want to be on my phone. I want to be on the website in the places people are looking for news. That's what I want to be. I don't, 5 o'clock, 6 and 10 to me is a wrap up. It's not even a, you know, or it's in addition to what we've told you already on our website and on our social media. It is not the start of the story, right? And I think that's where I want to get. And I want to be, I want our anchors and our producers to come in the morning and pitch their 10 o'clock, you know, pitch their story ideas. And I want them to then write a digital story. And then I want them to talk about what happened later or give more details at 5 o'clock when they get on, you know, for broadcast, because that's what it looks like for me.
Welcome to the News Nirvana podcast. I'm your host, Nick Parker. The News Nirvana podcast features conversations with media professionals from across the country, highlighting our ever-evolving business models and showcasing the strong and effective journalism produced each and every day. This podcast is made possible to you by the generosity of Blox Digital. Blox Digital empowers content producers to connect with their worldwide audiences at scale and continuously transform to achieve their business goals. Contact Blox Digital today to learn more about how they can help you thrive, and you can connect with them at BloxDigital.com. Hello and welcome back to the News Nirvana podcast. I am your host, Nick Parker. My guest today from WVUA are Amy Martin, the Creative Services Programming and Digital Director. That's a great title, by the way. Anytime when it stretches past your business card, I feel like that's good.
It's a lot, yeah.
And Cassandra Horton, the General Sales Manager for WVUA. Welcome.
Thank you. We're excited to be here.
Okay, so this is fun. You are one of two stations that are university owned in the United States, the other one being University of Mizzou. That's a cool way to do your student journalism, right? To teach them how to do it. And look, to put even more pressure on the students, you're also a top 50 market where you are. So just throw them in the deep end, right? Tell them to go make the news.
That's it. That's it. They're getting that real life experience right away in that top 50 market. They are.
When we first met and talked a couple of weeks ago, and I was thinking about that, and I remember none of us have to admit how long ago our schooling was, but you know, I remember we always took pride in, I was a newspaper guy, but we always took pride in, we're going to compete with whatever the local pros are, that we're going to be as good or better. That's how we learned. That's how we made sure we did a good job, but we really weren't. So we were still a campus publication, even though we covered the community and we tried to act like we were competitors. But with what you were doing, you really are competitors.
Really,
we are. Especially, and in every area too,
It's not just producing the news; it's also in sales. You are fully funded by advertising and sponsorship sales, so you really are, you know, dropping those students into the fire.
That's right. Really, when the students come to us, they're going to learn all those different areas, and that's the unique thing about what we do here is really they can put their hands into promotions, they can put their hands into news, they can put their hands into sales, and they get experience in all the areas.
Well, and that's something I really do want to get into, because we've talked a lot about that on this podcast and in different episodes about the importance now of journalists learning all aspects of the business. And I'm going to say the business, because not just learning how to write the news, how to shoot the news, still video, how to do things on digital. So not just the editorial side, but it is more important now that people learn the business side as well, even if it's not something you end up doing, to understand the role that they all play in the business and keeping it going, because sustainability is the name of the game for all of us now.
Right. And everything with all the journalists coming through our program, it's that multimedia journalist. They have to understand digital. They have to understand how to write a story. I mean, at the basis of it all, though, is content and writing. And that's a focus that I think, you know, we're shifting a little bit more into right now, is focusing on that writing, those skills, because that transfers over to your website easily. It transfers over to social media, and it transfers to broadcast as well. So I think that's like, that's a real important part to what we're trying to train these future journalists, you know, how we're doing it.
Yeah. If you can write the news, you can learn the tools to do all the other things.
Right.
There's an art to each of them, but you can learn to use the tools from the other things if you can just start with a written news
story. That's right. I mean, I think you're a better editor, you're a better producer, you're a better, you know, all those aspects are important to you becoming, you know, being a writer. You have to know how to write well.
I would agree. And I love doing all of it, because I think that in the end, that all makes us all better mm-hmm. storytellers.
Yeah. And we're also dealing with, well, we're competing with social media, because some of them come in,
right.
they come here thinking that they already in writing. So,
right. That's
right. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so, and those are different types of writing.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's yep. right. There's because they really do have to know how to do all of that and how to engage their viewer. Like, it's because these, especially now when they're coming in with these digital experience, there's that influencer, that fine line right now between news journalist and influencer. And I think we're in an interesting time trying to figure out what that is and what that looks like. And so understanding that, how to brand themselves, but then also making sure that they're not doing anything that's unethical.
Right.
Is really important.
Right. Because I think we are learning at earlier ages how to, I'm going to say, brand ourselves with social media, yes. right? But I mean, yes. we do create a persona, a social media persona, but now the idea is you need to brand yourself as a journalist that not only promotes you for your career, but promotes the organization that you are working for, because the idea is always you want to drive people to your content.
That's correct. Yeah.
We don't make any money if they just watch our Instagram feed.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Amy, you may disagree with me, is that they're kind of pushing us to an area where we're right on the line of some of them want to promote themselves as much as they look at that as their content as maybe it's more, it's just as important as what they put on air. So right. they're forced to a different area where we're trying to figure out, like Amy is saying, ethically what's okay and what's not okay.
Right.
Where do you start, I guess, then, as you're talking with students and new reporters and journalists, of how do you make your social media so that it drives to the website, drives to the station, drives to the printed product? Where do you start on that? Because really it does all need to be a driver.
It does. It really does. I think for me, when I get students that come through and I'm talking about that topic, I always ask kind of what space they're currently in and where they're branding themselves right now and how they're branding themselves. And then once I figure that out, I make sure that their messaging is, you know, I'm a WVUA 23 reporter, and you can get the behind the scenes from me, and I might brand myself a specific, like we had one student called himself the Red Report. His name was Asher, and he made himself the Red Report. So the Red Report was a good example of he branded himself, and then he had to take it back to, I work as a reporter or an anchor too at WVUA 23. So I think it's figuring out, and we have not perfected this. Like this is something that I'm still trying to really figure out, because I want them to brand themselves and I want them to feel confident about that, but I also have to make it beneficial for the station. And so we're at right. So we're at this weird and the content that they're putting out. So if they're going to produce packages and stories, I'm okay with them branding, saying that this is produced by them, but it's gotta be branded WVUA 23. We own that content. So that's that weird, you know, line there for us.
Yeah. And it is a balance, because look, people will follow people before they'll follow things.
That's right? Correct.
You're going to follow, you'll follow Amy Martin and her feed before you'll follow the station. So they need to have that personal touch, that personal interaction, but it still has to drive.
It still has to be Amy Martin at WVUA 23, you know, and the content that I put out has to be the news as a journalist, has to be a newsworthy content. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
How does that work on the flip side, Cassandra? Because you're working on the advertising and the sponsorship. I mean, I grew up editorial. I just want to say, but look, you're over there on the evil side of things. Although we know that's not true anymore.
Yeah, right.
I've learned my lessons over the years. but you got to do that too. Where again, they are driving the content of the station. They're driving the content of the partners.
They'll get our advertisers that will ask them to promote things. They'll give them a T-shirt. They'll give them furniture for their apartments, and they have to make that choice. Mm-hmm. They tag them on their social media or not, because at that point they'll turn to they're taking money from the state.
Right.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had that issue. We have that issue with one of our journalists currently, but there's a thin line where they can say I'm at the park today, but they can't mention maybe there's a food truck or something out there. Go out there and come out here and taste this food. They can't do that, but there is a line. They do want to promote things on there because they get free things. If they get enough followers, they will get there will be companies that will contact them to promote their product. So
is the social media angle, you think, one of the bigger issues you're facing as educators and training the next generation?
It is
100%.
Because there's an idea that will have more followers than a show. Maybe one of your lower shows, the programs that you have. Mm-hmm. So that you compete. If I'm showing numbers and this anchor is very popular and I'm trying to show a 10 o'clock show, which is not going to be ranked as high as whoever this person's followers are, how do you compete with that?
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you, as the people running the station then, how do you look at those numbers and say, okay, how do I use this person that has 100,000 social media followers to promote the show that's, you know, getting 5,000 people to watch? How are you working to kind of use those numbers to your advantage as a station?
I was going to say those are those conversations that we're having, you know, with them, because we want them to use their social media for those opportunities and help us promote those things. But some of them are very focused on their personal brand.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's trying to figure out, you know, how they can do that. I mean, I'm not kidding. It's a struggle. It's a big struggle for us. And I think, you know, a lot of the bigger companies, you know, these media companies, they have in their contracts that you can't do certain things, right? You can't do any sort of, yeah. And so when you have to sign those contracts, you kind of go in knowing that. But these students that come to us, they don't have contracts. They're here to just learn. They don't have a contract. They're just here to learn, you know, and they're trying to figure out kind of what they want to do at the same time. And so, you know, I think it's up to us as educators to kind of meet them where they are and figure out how to use that, because there's some really positive things that come out of that. There's some negative things, but there's some really positive things too. And so I think we have to meet them where they are and figure it out.
I would think that also, while it's a little scary because there are no contracts and you're kind of figuring those rules out as you go, also I would think that gives you some freedom to experiment with some things.
It does.
As well, to try to, you know, find where the balance is and also figure out new tools that the students can use, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the great part is in this ever-changing tech world and ever-changing industry is this gives you a little freedom to kind of play with those things.
It really does. It does experiment. I'm putting together a task force of faculty members as well as staff members here that work at the station, as well as one of our top journalists she's got the highest numbers on social right now. I'm putting that team together to try to figure out how we can do that with students and how we can actually work, how that can be to our advantage, you know, to be able to bring them over here. Are they social media? Are they called social media reporters maybe? Right. How are we going to brand them? How are we going to, you know, work them into what we do? So I'm putting this little task force together to kind of study, to, you know, talk about and study some options, because I'm very interested in seeing where this is going to go.
What's the response been like from your the people you report to as you're putting these things together? I mean, is the university embracing these kind of new? I would think that, you know, it's hard sometimes to say, hey, we're gonna try this thing.
Yeah, no, they are, because I think the professors, like, we're working across the street. I say across the street because we're in one building, and then our College of Communications in the other building across the street. but so with those professors, faculty, and staff members, you know, what they're teaching their students needs to also be transformed over here, right? And so we expect them to have some sort of level of education and knowledge over there before they come to us. So I think it's important that we work together to figure that out. And I don't think right now there's much of that going on, but they are looking at us over at WVUA going, well, how are you guys dealing with that? You know? And so I think that's why I'm trying to bridge that gap between the two to try to make sure we're figuring out together.
Well, let's shift gears a little bit, and let's talk about producing the news. So let's talk about telling stories. You know, the last 4 or 5 guests we've had on, the running theme has been digital first. Whether you're a TV station, a magazine, a newspaper, you know, you have to retrain the brain to think digital first. How does that fit, and how does that relate to what you're doing for, you know, training the next generation for student journalism?
I'm really happy to hear that that's a recent conversation with other stations. Is that true?
Absolutely.
Is that true? Yeah. Okay, good. Because honestly, I feel like we're so behind the eight ball on that. Like, I feel like we should have been digital first 5 years ago. And so it's really good that we're not having these conversations late. I don't know why. I've always felt like we've been so late to the game on this, because I've been trying to push this for 4 years now. And so what we're doing is we're creating a digital space inside the newsroom. So we're going to have a space in the newsroom that's going to be digital only. We hope to make one of our studios digital first newsroom, and we're going to staff it with a digital content manager, some digital producers, and a social media manager. And then those students that will work, students will always work with a professional in that area. So we'll have all our reporters that will work with the digital producers. We'll have some social media managers that work with social, and then that digital content manager will oversee all of that entire department. But it's been very difficult to get our news team, our full staff news team, to buy into that and to understand how to change gears from, I'm writing a story for broadcast, that goes on air, and then I write a digital. And what we want to do is we want a web story first, and then we want the broadcast story second. And so it's a definite workflow change and shift. And I feel like it's going to be difficult. I had a couple of people have given me advice from other stations and just said, Amy, just hire your own team, digital team. And then eventually your news team will just have to follow with it, but just do your thing. And so I'm kind of in that mode right now.
Yeah, because it's tough to get, quote unquote, I hate to put the quotation marks on it, old school journalists to move in that space. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of going against the system also.
No, I think for all of us, I mean, look, we are not an industry that's handled change well over the years, right? I mean, we've mm-hmm. fought it. But I think you're right. And Amy, we have heard the same sentiment talking to other people of, you just have to do it. And eventually the rest of the newsroom, the rest of the teams will follow, but you can't. You just have to do it a little differently.
Yeah, you can, but you can't. Especially in a university setting, though, it's a little different.
Yeah, in university setting, corporate, you could make them. You could go ahead and enforce it and move forward with it. The university, there's a whole process before you can say, this is a policy that we're going to do. So that's... Yeah.
I think that's right. And I think more of where I was going is, what it takes a lot of times, though, is it takes somebody to do it. You have to either hire somebody that's what they're going to do, or, you know, convince one person to do this thing. And then once the rest of them, and I'll say that, I'll just say us, right? Once the rest of us in the newsroom see someone having success, they're going to want to follow suit. Oh, Oh, or even it might not be success. It might even be, man, I really love the way you told that story. I want to do that next. I mean, we're all storytellers. So sometimes that's what it takes too, is just, I want to copy that style and I want to make, I want to put a package together where I've told the story this way online, this way through video, and this way through, through the written word. I think, you know, it just takes one person or one team showing that they can do it. And then the rest will follow.
I hope so. I really do.
The odd thing about it is that so all of our professional staff, which is the old school journalism people, they will complain about a story that comes out on a school spread or one of our competitors, one of our online digital news sources. They will talk about how they scoop them at 9 o'clock in the morning, you know. And we're telling them, get the story in first before you brought, they want to save the story until 5 o'clock. Well, it's old at 5 p.m.
Right.
It's already out.
Right, right. Yep. Yeah. You gave up the scoop.
They won't go through the process. They see it happening.
The News Nirvana podcast is made possible by the generosity of Blox Digital. Blox Digital empowers content producers to connect with their worldwide audiences at scale and continuously transform to achieve their business goals. Contact Blox Digital today to learn more about how they can help you thrive. Connect with them at BloxDigital.com. Let's talk real quick, kind of a little shift, and then we can come back. But let's talk about that dynamic that you have, where you just said you've got some professional people on staff that are the, you know, you keep saying the old school journalists. Right. And you have your students. So what's that dynamic? What is that shared space that you have where you've got some people that have been, you know, pros in the career forever, and then you have your students? What is that like?
It's complicated.
Complicated.
It's complicated. I don't know how else to say it, because
what percent of your new staff is and just ballparky, right? But what percentage of it is students and what percentage of it is longtime pros?
I would say we're at 70-30. So we've got 30% pros, 70% students.
And do they serve as mentors? Is that kind of how it's set up? Or do they work together?
They serve as mentors, kind of. Not in the way that I would like them to. Because we're so such a small staff that we're so focused on getting that 5, 6, and 10 done that they have a lot of work. And so the students actually fill in, they'll report, they'll edit the stories, things like that. So it's complicated. And so I think and nobody is really thinking digital first down there, except for my digital producer, where she's like, where's the digital story? Where's your digital story? So, and the news director, is trying too. It's a new news director. So we're going through that transition as well, but it's hard. It's not easy. And it's for me, it's a daily struggle.
Yeah.
When you think about digital first, what are the things that you're wanting to get out of it? What advantages does that give your station?
I want to be in this digital space for West Alabama stories, covering local stories. I want to be there first. I want to be on my phone. I want to be on the website in the places people are looking for news. That's what I want to be. The 5 o'clock, 6, and 10 to me is a wrap up. It's not even a, you know, or it's in addition to what we've told you already on our website and on our social media. It is not the start of the story. Right. And I think that's where I want to get. And I want our anchors and our producers to come in the morning and pitch their 10 o'clock, you know, pitch their story ideas. And I want them to then write a digital story. And then I want them to talk about what happened later or give more details at 5 o'clock when they get on, you know, for the broadcast, because that's what it looks like for me. And that competes with our, you know, with two of our top, you know, digital platforms here in town. We've got two other people that are scooping, like she said, scooping stories.
You talked about resistance a little bit from the older generations, which is no surprise to any of us. What's it like working with the students? I mean, they come in with, you know, 18 to 22 year olds.
Yep.
comes in living in the digital world already. They've spent their lives with social media. They've spent their lives with everything, you know, comes in on this device. That's where they are. You just said, let's go where they are. Are they taking to that?
You know, what's interesting is I think because they haven't produced a news story necessarily, right? They come into that newsroom and with the big, the TVs and the lights and the top 50 markets and the 5 and the 6 and the 10. And I think that they get in just enthralled with the whole TV thing. Right.
Right.
And so I think that's where they get kind of like, oh, this is how, I think it's separate for them. I think they think, oh, this is how you do this. And this is how you do that. And for me, a successful newsroom does both. Right. And that's, I think, where I'm, that's where we're trying to, that bridge. We're trying to build that bridge because that's where we're getting lost right now. We're having troubles.
Yeah. Cassandra, I want to bring your side in on this. And I know it's a little scatterbrained to have both the advertising side and the news content side at the same time. But I think in the same vein of training that next generation to at the very least understand both sides of the business. How does all of this relate to, as you're training, you know, the next sales staff?
Well, our only issue on the sales staff is actually getting this younger generation to actually develop a relationship. So most of our sales is based on relationships and actually listening. So that's the biggest struggle is getting them to actually listen, develop a relationship when they've been living in the world. And this generation, these are COVID kids who really couldn't have a relationship with people. So that's the other thing. So they're coming in here not having any contact. But I think that's the biggest issue is getting them and keeping them from being an influencer and those type of things.
Well, yeah, we're all having to relearn how to make relationships, right? After.
Yeah.
I had to learn. We came back. We were away for about 7 months from here. And I had to learn. I had to readjust to how I approach people. But you have to teach them exactly how to listen and how to take that information, what to do with it, and not so much think about themselves and think of the client.
Because I want to.
Problem.
I want to go a little more on what you said about you know, forming relationships. And it's all about forming relationships. Another recent guest we had, Ryan Dorn, who is a consultant for media sales teams, told us that one of the big things post-COVID, post-pandemic, is that more and more we are pitching the emotional sale rather than the logical sale. That the scales seem to have tipped a little bit. Mm-hmm. That's more important. So, you know, what are you looking at as you teach people to go and make those relationships and form that emotional bond so that they can sell new partners and new sponsors?
So you have to match demographics with their product. You have to find a program that matches with whatever that person's, that typical customer that walks into their business. That requires you to sit there and drill them and ask them what they look like, what their habits are, because you've got to go, you got to sell, you got to pitch digital too. So we've got to pitch digital for them first, and then we move to broadcast. Because you have to check out their websites, you need to know all this information, and that is a relationship thing. But like I said, I even had, you know, I have professional staff that doesn't listen well a lot.
You know, we had somebody else who said, you know, it's really more about selling your audience and how your audience.
It is.
We want to build audiences.
It is. But I always tell my reps to don't, when we first go in, we don't talk about our station. We talk about the client and what keeps them up at night. And then we match whatever that is that keeps them up at night with what our product is. And then we merge those two together because we need to find a solution. So
are you selling products separately? I'm going to go out and I need to sell for the digital side. I need to sell for the state or is it more of an approach of let's just see what they need and then figure out a package that works?
I ask them to do research before they go and look at their website, look at their social media, see what's going on with them. So you'll have a conversation because you need an appointment. So you can normally find a story with the social media and the website, and you start from there because you want to start with the website. Because what you're going to do is, just like we are a news station, they need people to come to their websites. So you have to, same as the newsroom, it is always digital first and then broadcast second, because the audience for broadcast is shrinking. Those people, and the people I age, I'm 52 years old. If I'm streaming, that means this generation below me, those people, none of them have a cable service. So we have to learn. We have to be in that digital space also.
Well, I think what we said earlier, you know, one has to always drive to the other.
Yes. And I think it's been so different. The things, it's changed so much. I've watched it change for us specifically, but you know, I would never have considered us a kind of a marketing agency before. I always considered us an asset or a creative part, you know, to a marketing campaign. But now I think we're selling more like a marketing campaign. So we're going out and talking to our clients, and then we're figuring out, now we have the options to give them, to help them on all platforms. And so, you know, Cassandra came from radio. She was in radio for what? How long? 20 years? Like 15 years?
20 years.
And, you know, and she sold strictly. It's just interesting because she sold strictly radio. Then sold strictly television. But now we've got a whole nother world open to us. And where sometimes we've made the comment, we don't need TV. We don't need broadcast. We don't need news. So then what happens? Right. We're just a marketing agency.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
I think you're right. I mean, it's the same thing as we said. It's all about the different ways to tell a story, right? To package them in different ways. Well, it's the same way of using all of your different channels, for lack of a better term, you know, all of your different channels to tell the story of your marketing partner, your sponsorship. And I just personally, for my own things, I like to call them partners. Because I'm selling them my audience, and I want them to partner because I want their audience too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because I want my business to grow. I want more people to come to my news I'm producing. Yeah. And so I would love for their audience to do it.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and then you have to break it up in generations, 50 and up. Yeah, you can you can catch internet broadcast news, but under 50, you have to go to a device or a tablet. So, you can't just pitch.
We just have so many other options, though, to get those audiences. Like, there's so many other ways to do it now. I mean, it used to just be through our, you know, broadcast, but now it's on our social media. Now it's a digital campaign. Now it's, you know, so it opens up a lot of opportunities for us in a lot of different ways.
Along those same lines, and I want to pay attention to our time here, not take too much of your time away from your real jobs. Along those same lines, and I thought of this because earlier you said you were happy to hear of other stations talking about digital first because you weren't sure if you were in the right time. But I think I was a little surprised by that because I remember when I was in college and newspapers were at that time just starting to go to the pagination, right? To where we could lay out our papers on the computer, our pages. Whereas my first job, here I am fresh out of school, right? I actually ended up training the staff that had been there forever how to do that process because my college, you know, my university team had already done it. We learned how to do that. So, you know, I feel like a lot of times because of the way things work, universities can be a little bit ahead in technology. But what I wonder, taking my perspective and then what you just said, which your perspective is obviously a little differently.
Yeah.
What do you think? And I guess, how is your role? How can the university stay stay up with things, but to make that next generation ready for obviously ever-changing technology, but then also an industry that's really going through some changes in how we produce and deliver the news.
I think conversations with other stations across the country and what they're doing right and what they're doing wrong and what they want to do better, I think is one of the biggest things for me. And then understanding too, I always want to be ahead of the curve. And so I'm constantly reading about kind of what is like AI right now. Okay. AI is a big, how do we use AI in the newsroom? How is AI going to help my digital team? I'll tell you what, it's going to help my digital team because I have a small staff. but how do we use it effectively? So I'm like reading up about how to do that, you know? And so I think it's just, it's really just, it's all, it's us educating ourselves and staying ahead of it. I always tell everybody that I work, that works with me or works, I learn something new every single day. And the minute that I stop learning, I'm out. And so I'm done.
I do dip training once a week so I can keep ahead of it. I hired a rep that is in her 30s. She's a millennial and she's AI everything. All of her script writing, everything. She uses it for everything.
So I think it is a fascinating tool to me. I'm a little bit frightened of it, but more. Mostly yep. frightened because I don't know how to use it right yet, right? Like I'm still trying to figure it out, and I'm curious to see how we end up using it. I've found a few things for myself to use it, but yeah, it's that's definitely a new frontier, and mm-hmm. I'm hoping that we can find somebody soon to have as a guest to talk about that. Not only in how to use this tool, but we're gonna have some ethical questions as
yes,
well.
Yes, we are.
For those of you that are using it, I'm gonna give you one piece of advice. You still have to edit. Reread. Go over and edit what it gives you, because sometimes those generated responses are a little strange.
And you still have to know how to write. You still have to understand story structure. You still have to understand content. Like there's you've got to have that basis to be able to use it. So I just and I think
we'll never not edit.
No, I don't think so. I really don't. I mean, we can say this today, and less than 10 years, we'll see where we're at, right? But I mean, go on. But it's so important for us to, like, you know, like even with the kids in this influencer world and social media world, we've got to stay ahead of it. And I know the faculty and staff over there are constantly trying to figure that out as well. Is, you know, what does the future of news look like?
Yeah, absolutely. To us this weekend, Amy and I, with that rep who uses AI, like she's teaching me so much with technology. But the flip side of that is that she kept sending a calendar invite out instead of sending one instead of picking up a phone and get, because we've got
a
huge that's going to meet. So you've got to call, you got to pick up the phone and figure out what their date, right? What their times are and when they're available, right? That requires you emailing everyone or picking up the phone and saying, hey, give me some, here's some dates and some times, right?
Well, as with everything we've talked about, there's that balance, right? There's that tightrope of using all the tools.
Here's what we saw in our age group. They kept declining. Everyone was declining it because their date never picked up that phone. So Amy called. She said, hey, we got to nail this down today. I just picked up the phone. I said, hey, what? Give me some dates and give me some dates. That was it. Right. She gave we did like 10 minutes.
Okay, yes, it was scheduled.
And that's what aligned with younger people. That's where I say the relationship. Mm-hmm. She would rather communicate through email instead of just picking up the phone and getting all of us together, because we're talking of, 10 people that's going to meet?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So there's the line. That's where we still need it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll never replace the actual relationship.
I don't think we ever will.
I don't think we ever will. It will never happen.
I don't think so either. I agree with that.
No, yeah, and I think that's part of the power of the news, right? Is it's still it's still a relationship between you and your organization and the people, your audience. You're telling the stories of your community or whoever, and that's a relationship. And that's where finding that balance between even the social media branding and driving to your organization. You've got to have all that, because you're the ones they trust to tell the stories.
I agree.
That's right. And those relationships in the communities themselves with the people are just critical to us telling those stories. They really, really are critical. Mm-hmm. Even doesn't matter what space we're in. And this is what I try to tell the news team. I'm like, it doesn't matter. And, you know, we might have 200,000 page views, you know, in a month. And then we've got 5,000 in a night, you know, I mean, it just doesn't, to me, it's just like for us to get to reach the people that we need to reach, we have to be in that digital space too. Like also, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I wish that they would just understand that we can reach more people now using mm-hmm. different platforms and not just broadcast.
We can meet them where they are and drive them to the other things too.
We can. Yeah. We can. Yeah.
And
but,
get rid
but
of
they have to.
Wouldn't matter. Nielsen is not going to work. It's not going to be a. Yeah.
No.
Right.
No.
Well, Amy, Cassandra, I thank you very much. As we wrap up, I want to make sure, so if people want to follow along or they want to go find your station, where can they find you on the socials, on the websites?
We're all at WVUA23 for everything. LinkedIn, WVUA23 socials, and then WVUA23.com on the website.
And I assume they can find you guys as well if they want to reach out and ask questions or
yeah.
Maybe offers up some internships or some mentor advice for students.
Yes.
I think
I love
better when we talk with other people in the industry.
Yes. I love having conversations with other people in the industry because it gives me ideas and then it also validates what I'm doing and why I'm doing it.
So. We all need a little validation now and then.
Right? I think we do.
Can't argue with you then. Well, Amy Cassandra, right? Thank you very much. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you.
That'll wrap us up for this time. We'll talk to everybody next episode. The News Nirvana podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or most any of your favorite podcast apps. The News Nirvana podcast is made possible by the generosity of Blox Digital. Connect with them at blocksdigital.com. The News Nirvana podcast is produced by Fredcasts. Think, speak, act.